Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Man Who Would Be King by Karen Elliott House examines the rise of Mohammed bin Salman and the rapid reshaping of Saudi Arabia under his leadership. Drawing on the author's long experience covering the kingdom and its elite power structures, the book frames bin Salman as both a modernizer and a consolidator of authority, moving with uncommon speed to reorder politics, society, and the economy. It places his ascent within the context of Saudi history, the royal family's internal bargains, the role of religion, and the country's dependence on oil. The narrative focuses on the tension between ambitious reform programs and the constraints of tradition, regional rivalry, and governance built on consensus among powerful factions. By connecting domestic change to foreign policy decisions and global perceptions, House offers a portrait of a nation attempting a generational pivot while under intense scrutiny. The book is positioned as a guide for readers seeking to understand why Saudi Arabia is changing and what is at stake if reforms succeed or fail. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a new style of power in the House of Saud. A central topic is how Mohammed bin Salman's ascent signaled a shift from the kingdom's traditional consensus-based royal governance toward a more centralized and personal form of rule. The book explores the internal mechanics of Saudi power, where legitimacy has historically rested on balancing senior princes, religious authorities, and key constituencies while distributing patronage. Against that backdrop, bin Salman is presented as a leader willing to override older norms, elevating decision speed, tightening command over security and economic levers, and reducing the room for competing power centers. This topic helps readers understand why the kingdom's political temperature changed so quickly, including the effects of high-profile crackdowns and the message they sent to elites about loyalty and compliance. The discussion also highlights the double-edged nature of centralization. It can break gridlock and accelerate reform, but it can also amplify risks when institutions are weak or when dissent is managed primarily through coercion. By mapping these dynamics, the book clarifies how Saudi statecraft is evolving and why external actors, from investors to allies, must reassess how decisions are made and how stable they are over time. Secondly, Vision 2030 and the reinvention of the Saudi economy. Another major theme is economic transformation, often framed through Vision 2030 and related diversification initiatives. But the book considers the underlying problem, an oil-centric model that funded generous benefits and public employment, but left the private sector underdeveloped and vulnerable to price swings. That examines the effort to reshape the economy through investment, tourism, entertainment, and mega-project branding, while also modernizing regulations and state capacity. This topic goes beyond slogans to address structural challenges such as youth unemployment, skills gaps, labor market dependence on expatriates, and the complicated task of turning state-led plans into productive private enterprise. The book also draws attention to the political economy of reform-reducing subsidies. Introducing new taxes or fees and insisting on efficiency can generate public strain, especially if expectations rise faster than household incomes. At the same time, rapid change can attract global capital and talent if governance, transparency, and predictability improve. By presenting the economic program as both a national necessity and a high-stakes bet, the book gives readers a framework for judging whether Saudi Arabia is building a sustainable post-oil future or merely rebranding state spending under new labels. Thirdly, social liberalization, religion, and cultural recalibration. The book emphasizes social change as one of the most visible dimensions of Saudi Arabia's transformation. It looks at how the leadership has sought to loosen certain restrictions and promote new forms of public life, including expanded entertainment and increased opportunities for women, while still maintaining a conservative baseline and strong state oversight. This topic situates social liberalization within the kingdom's long-standing partnership between the ruling family and religious institutions, a relationship that shaped education, public morality, and legal norms for decades. The reforms, therefore, carry both symbolic and practical significance. They signal a new national narrative and aim to make the country more livable for citizens and more attractive to visitors and investors. Yet the book also underlines the tensions in this recalibration. Cultural openings can provoke backlash from traditional segments, and the state's insistence on controlling the boundaries of acceptable speech can limit the emergence of an organic civil society. Readers are guided to see social reform not as a linear march toward liberal democracy, but as a managed project designed to support economic goals and consolidate political authority. The result is a more complex portrait of modernization that blends genuine lifestyle change with tight governance. Fourthly, foreign policy activism and regional risk. A further topic is the kingdom's more assertive foreign policy posture during bin Salman's rise, and how external ambitions intersect with domestic legitimacy. The book considers Saudi Arabia's strategic environment rivalry with Iran, instability across the region, and the need to secure alliances with major powers while protecting energy and maritime routes. It explores how bold moves can be framed at home as strength and leadership, especially for a young population seeking national pride. But it also examines the costs when initiatives escalate, drag on, or damage the kingdom's reputation. This topic is valuable because it shows how foreign policy is not separate from modernization. It can accelerate economic plans by attracting partnerships, or undermine them by increasing security expenditures and political uncertainty. Talisay. The book also highlights the reputational dimension of statecraft, where a single crisis can reshape investor confidence and diplomatic relationships. By connecting regional strategy to leadership style, the narrative helps readers evaluate the sustainability of an approach that favors rapid decision-making and high-stakes gambits. The broader takeaway is that Saudi Arabia's transformation is unfolding under constant external pressure, and foreign policy outcomes can either reinforce or derail domestic reform timelines. Lastly, legitimacy, governance, and the social contract under pressure. The final core topic is the evolution of legitimacy and the Saudi social contract. The book frames the kingdom's historical bargain as a combination of security, religious framing, and material benefits, financed largely by oil revenues. As demographics shift and fiscal realities tighten, that bargain is being renegotiated. This topic examines what replaces the old model when the state asks citizens to accept new taxes, fewer subsidies, and greater expectations for private sector work. It also considers how nationalism and developmental promises can become alternative sources of legitimacy, especially when accompanied by high visibility projects and cultural initiatives. At the same time, governance questions remain central. Transparency, rule predictability, and institutional checks influence whether reforms feel fair or arbitrary. The book points to the importance of trust between state and society, and how crackdowns on dissent or perceived selective enforcement can erode that trust even amid modernization. For readers, this topic ties the book's strands together by showing that economic reform, social opening, and political centralization all converge on one question: can the leadership create a durable, broadly accepted model of citizenship and opportunity? The answer will shape not only Saudi stability but also its global role. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a grounded, narrative-driven understanding of contemporary Saudi Arabia policymakers, business leaders, investors, journalists, students of the Middle East, and general readers trying to make sense of the kingdom's rapid shifts. It can benefit a reader's life by improving their ability to interpret headlines, evaluate geopolitical risk, and understand how modernization efforts interact with culture, religion, and power. Rather than treating Saudi change as a simple story of progress or repression, the book presents transformation as a contested process with trade-offs, enabling readers to think in systems and incentives rather than stereotypes. It is also useful for professionals who engage the region because it links domestic reforms to questions of stability, investment climate, and diplomatic credibility. Compared with many similar books that focus narrowly on either economic plans or human rights controversies, this one aims to integrate leadership style, internal politics, social change, and regional strategy into a single portrait. That breadth makes it worth buying for readers who want a cohesive framework for understanding why the kingdom is moving fast, what could slow it down, and what the outcomes could mean for the wider world. If you would like to support Karen Elliott House, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.